The Inside Aperture podcast introduces you to the experts who use Apple's professional image management application to organize, edit, and output their pictures. Each show features tips and techniques that will help you improve the quality of your photography and bring efficiency to your workflow.
Hi, this is Derek Story with O'Reilly Media, and I'm here with Ben Long today, and we're going to talk a little bit about a teaching gig that Ben did during the summer in Oklahoma. How are you doing today, Ben?
I'm okay. How are you doing, Derek?
I'm doing just great. So why don't you just give us just a quick overview of this teaching experience, and the reason why I wanted to talk to you about it today is because you used Aperture exclusively to do all the photo management during this. So I'm very curious to hear how you set it up and how it went and everything. So why don't you tell us just a little bit about what you guys did, where you were, and how many students you had, all that good stuff.
The Oklahoma Summer Arts Institute is a summer arts program for 14 to 18-year-olds held in Oklahoma, obviously. This was their 30th year. It's a two-week summer camp, basically, held in a state park, the Quartz Mountain State Park, which is in the southwestern corner of the state. It's a very beautiful location on a lake, great facilities. What's really unique about the Summer Arts Institute is both the faculty that they attract. This year we had the acting teacher was a man named Ed Sheeran, who's the executive producer of NYPD Blue. He's won Tony Awards. His wife is Jane Alexander, former head of the NEA. She's been a teacher there also. Last year, the film and video teacher had just won the Academy Award for Best Documentary. And so they get really good faculty. The other thing is it's a very multidisciplinary program. It's photography, acting, writing, ballet, modern dance, orchestra, chorus, writing, film and video. So it's really great for the students to get to experience all of this different stuff. They have never had digital photography before. It's always been film photography in a wet darkroom. They have a beautiful darkroom. This was the first year that they decided to do digital photography. Steve Simon was the photography instructor. He was the instructor last year, and then I came along to help teach as well as to be the digital technician. There's a darkroom technician, a guy named Derek Jennings, and I was going to be basically running the computer lab, which this year was 18 iMacs that had been donated by a private high school in Tulsa, all of them running Aperture. Students were allowed to freely move between doing digital work, doing film work, doing any combination of both. We had two Epson 2400s for printing. The goal, of course, was really just to teach photography, whether it was digital film, doesn't really matter, just trying to help them understand what a good shot is, how you get it, and so on and so forth. The level of expertise of these teenagers is astonishing, as is their focus. They are in class from 8:30 until 6 every day. After that's dinner. After that is a performance that they go to watch that they're at till 10. And then, you know, maybe they're back in their cabins by 10:30. And then they're back there at 8:30 the next morning. Steve and I would get there at 8:30 and they'd be waiting at the door. They do not want to stop working. And that is, I think, a large part to do with why they do such good work. So anyway, we were running Aperture, and none of the kids had ever seen Aperture before. Most of them had not heard of it. Most of them were Windows users, not Mac users. A lot of them were disappointed. Not a lot of them. Some of them were disappointed when we told them they weren't going to be learning Photoshop. Those were the same kids who a few days later said, you know, how much would it cost for me to get a Mac and a copy of Aperture? They were really into it. So that's kind of the setup. And I was very surprised to find that from a teaching perspective, Aperture has a lot of advantages over other workflows and other systems.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit, because, you know, I got a couple thoughts here. One is, obviously, you want to talk photography when you have a workshop like this. And at the same time, no one has seen Aperture before. So there's a curve there, too. How do you balance that, or how do you blend that?
We spent a day just talking about photography before we went out, before we went into the lab, before we did anything. We talked a lot about composition, a lot about basics. It's a somewhat varied skill level. All of these kids had to audition to get in. They had to show portfolios to a learned advisory committee that made decisions. Again, it's 14 to 18-year-olds. It typically ends up being 16 to 18-year-old students because it's very competitive to get in. And one of the reasons being, if you're accepted, it's free. The whole 2 weeks is free. So they know what they're doing, or at least they know how to take good pictures. They don't necessarily know what they're doing, or they don't understand the theory behind it. So yeah, there was a lot of just some initial just going over the basics, and then it was going out shooting. So we weren't actually even into looking at Aperture for a few days. As far as the learning curve, I think there are two things. One, Aperture is very easy to use, and you read a lot about comparisons between Lightroom and Aperture, and I look at Lightroom and Aperture comparison sometimes, and I go, well, actually, in some ways, Lightroom seems easier because it's the tools that I'm already used to. They're there in a particular order that I would tend to use them in that regard. Lightroom seems easier to pick up than Aperture is, but over the long haul, Aperture seems easier. But then watching these students, obviously, this is a generation of kids who have grown up using complex pieces of software. They're not afraid of the computer. I started them out just talking about some very simple things. Here's how you import, here's how you browse, here's how you rate. It's very important to add metadata. And by the next day on their own, they'd figured out stacking and the loop and all this other stuff. We at that point just threw out our agenda and said, we'll just try to keep up with the questions that they have. So that to me, again, partly it's their own aptitude, but it also speaks a lot to Aperture is a very easy program for someone to pick up who's willing to just start pushing buttons and experiment, feel their way around.
I think one of the things, and I was just thinking about this while you were talking, when we hear people talk about, you know, getting to know an application, getting to know Aperture, let's say the first 10 hours, versus getting to know Lightroom the first 10 hours, we're usually talking about them doing it by themselves in isolation. And the reason, one of the reasons why I was interested in your experience was, this is the first time that I've really heard a controlled study, so to speak, where it was taught in the classroom environment and where it was introduced in a classroom environment. And I think when you introduce Aperture in a classroom environment with an instructor that really knows it and with bright kids that will help each other in addition to, you know, talking to you, I think that's a whole different ballgame.
It is. And I think that one of the things that I saw here is, yeah, there were some kids who said, well, we want to learn Photoshop. But I think it was they wanted to learn Photoshop because they knew that Photoshop is what, you know, real photographers use, for want of a better word. But these kids were interested in photography. That's it. There were a lot of kids who came in with digital cameras and came in with digital and film and had never been in a darkroom before and didn't shoot a digital frame the whole time. They were so fascinated by the darkroom. There were other kids who had done some darkroom work and decided, you know what, I'm just going to stick with digital. I like the workflow better. There were kids who went back and forth because in the end they were just really interested in getting the good print. And you would think it's easy to think, well, teenagers are going to be interested in tacky effects and weird Photoshop filters and goofy edits, and these kids weren't. They were interested in the basics of getting a good, natural-looking photo, and some of them were very purist. You know, film is photography, digital is a cheap knockoff, and I'm not going to go near it. And so in that regard, because most of these kids were interested in really was just real old-school photography, Aperture was a really good fit for them because that's what it's about. It's about sorting your images to get the best ones and making the types of exposure adjustments that you tend to make in a darkroom. It wasn't about wacky edits and compositing and layers and collaging, which I do a lot. I love all that kind of stuff. But it really helped. As a teaching tool, it was really good to focus them on just that. That's what they wanted anyway, and there weren't distractions. And Aperture is set up for that core photography thing, which is, I'm back from my shoot, what are the images?
So then you guys were working mainly with a heads-up display for the image editing part of working with the shots then?
It was interesting to watch the kids move. They got it all right away. They got that, well, here I'm in browsing mode, and now I'm just going to full screen. I'm doing the stuff that I need to do. Yeah, I'm bringing up the HUD to do. They understood levels pretty well, and they really got the shadow tool right away. And they were moving through their edits, just going from full screen mode to standard mode. And yeah, that's how they worked. And on their own, they figured out, you know, it's a lot easier if I take some of these and put them in their own project, and I'm going to build albums for these. So they really took to the organizational stuff, which again, I think speaks to the intuitive way that Aperture organizes your images the way that you would have organized contact sheets and negatives, which is probably what a lot of these kids were used to.
So how did the printing go? You said you had Epson 2400s in there. Were you also using the print function in Aperture and connected to those?
Bear in mind, a lot of the kids were shooting film and scanning, and then all of this stuff had to go through. They were doing darkroom printing, but we also wanted even those prints scanned and put into the computer because we knew there were some things that we would need to do later, like be able to post this stuff online, be able to show copies to donors who fund the Arts Institute, that kind of thing. So we wanted everything going into the computer, which meant that in some cases the kids were doing a lot of black and white printing. There were a lot of cases where, just in general, the kids seemed to be more interested in black and white than color. Even the ones who were shooting digital were ultimately converting to black and white, and they loved the monochrome conversion in Aperture, and they really understood the mixing, and they were playing a lot with that, which was great. Printing to the 2400s, the Epson 2400 has a really great native black and white mode that you cannot get to from the Aperture print driver. And that's where I came up with the thing that I posted on the Aperture site a couple weeks ago about an automated AppleScript way of printing out of Aperture via Photoshop, and that's how we were doing the printing.
And how did that work out? I mean, some of the prints that I saw in the book that you put together, the black and white was absolutely gorgeous, and that was done that way?
Exactly. Another thing, with only 2 weeks, I knew, you know, we needed to spend a week just on printing to really get them up to speed on the deep level of printing, and I knew we weren't going to be able to do that, so I wanted to find a common denominators level print setting that was going to work well for the most images, and what I finally decided was that was to let the printer driver control the color. And so that was ultimately why I wanted a thing outside of Aperture, is I wanted to be able to let the driver take over, because I figured that was the safest for the greatest number of prints, and it gave us access to black and white. So yeah, that's why I set up that system, and it worked well. We had two printers. We basically had two different networks. There was one printer on each network, and they understood that all they have to do is export into this folder, and it gets printed, and I explained that to them once, and they got it, and all that worked great.
That sounds really cool. So, I mean, there's a lot of really good information that you guys shared with them here, and especially, I think, introducing them to Aperture and that whole workflow is definitely. But I bet you there's some stuff that came back your way. I mean, as a photographer, and whenever you work with really bright young people, it's amazing the things that they teach us.
Absolutely, and particularly, like I said, these kids were there early and stayed late, and you know, if nothing else, there was just that lesson of, yeah, it's 90% perspiration, and these kids were willing to sweat. We took them on field trips. We had a school bus. We'd drag them out to small towns around, and they couldn't get off the bus fast enough. It was great to see, you know, these are teenagers at basically at summer camp, and just the instincts they have about, they knew that they needed to get away from each other in a lot of cases. They went off on their own. They didn't travel around as a pack. They went on their own, and they found stuff. And that was really great to see. As far as what I came away with, they're very inspiring. And there are a couple of things I came away with. One is they don't have an editor yet. And it's part of me, it's kind of sad, like, you know, they'll end up with one eventually. They shot and shot and shot and shot. There was never a question of, is this a good idea? Is this going to be a good picture? They had one eye on, is this a good picture? And another eye on just, this feels good and I like doing it and I'm going to do it. And of course, that's the energy that leads you to the really good shots. Being around that kind of completely, they're not thinking, where can I sell this? They're not thinking, how can I get this published? They're not thinking anything other than, I just want to see the print. And being around a lot of that kind of attitude is a really healthy thing for any creative person. I think that's why a lot of the faculty likes going back there, is you get back to this really pure, outside of whatever industry you're in, attitude towards things. And that's another thing that I realized about halfway through the trip, is that the computer industry is really like this, and the photography industry is like this to a degree. Car nerds, people who are into cars, don't care at all about the auto industry. They don't sit around playing armchair CEO wondering about whether Chrysler should be advertising this car this way or that way, or what they're going to release next or whatnot. They're just into hot-rodding their cars. The computer industry is very strange in that computer nerds are really into how the industry works. And I kind of realized that, you know, I'm a computer nerd. If I'd wanted to be a businessman, I would have been a business nerd. Where does that end of things come from? And we all get wrapped up into that. In the photography realm, it's easy to get focused on equipment and what's coming out next and so on and so forth. These students didn't have any idea of the significance of one piece of equipment over another. They just wanted to take pictures. And it was the image that mattered. And it was the people that they were meeting while they were out shooting that mattered. And that's a really inspiring thing to be around.
Yeah, I remember exchanging some email with you, and your letters had come back. Actually, you sounded a lot like a kid at camp.
Really?
Came back, and I thought that was very cool. Now, you know, that back to that idea of the internal editor, you know, that limiter kind of thing. Did you notice any difference in terms of approach, the kids that were shooting digital versus the kids that were shooting film, or were they just kids and it didn't make any difference what kind of camera they had?
It really didn't make a difference. As you get older, you find the things that you're more interested in shooting. These kids were interested in shooting anything, and they could shoot anything pretty well, which was great. So they were all trying portraits. They were all walking up to people on the street, total strangers, and getting really good stuff out of them. They were all trying abstract stuff. They were all trying some landscape stuff. So They just wanted to shoot. Film or digital didn't really make a difference. It made more of a difference in the post-processing. I think the kids who were afraid or weren't experienced with the digital basically just thought, you know, when I'm in the dark room, I know that I do this with my hands and I dodge here and I burn there and I get the results I want, and they don't know how that translated into digital. I think also there is, the dark room there is really beautiful, and, you know, anyone who's ever watched a print materializing in the tray, that's just a really exciting moment that you don't really have an equivalent of in digital, and I think they were really attracted to that. But no, mostly they just liked shooting, and that's what it was.
So, and then one other thing I was thinking while you're talking about, you know, using aperture while you're in the classroom, this is something I've always wanted to do, which is, you know, look out over a classroom and, you know, see 30 Macs running aperture with talented photographers putting good stuff into them. Just as a teacher, how was it, you know, using aperture as your integrated environment, as opposed to having to piece together, let's say, something like Bridge and Photoshop and that kind of thing? Did it allow you to, you know, focus more on photography and kind of get the tools out of the way a little bit?
Absolutely, and I think that's a very good point. I don't know why I hadn't foreseen this. The one thing that really struck me that I hadn't thought about before was, oh, in aperture, the tools are the same whether you're shooting RAW or JPEG, so we don't have to spend a whole separate day teaching RAW. We can spend some time talking about the advantages of RAW, talking about highlight recovery and some of the other things, and about higher bit depths when you're exporting and things like that, but I can just sit down right now and tell them, here's how levels work, here's how the exposure and brightness tools work, get to it. And I didn't have to worry about RAW versus JPEG. And that may not sound like much, but that's a huge thing. If I'd been in a Photoshop workflow, we would have had to do a whole separate day on camera raw, and we would have had to do then a whole day just on workflow, because that workflow is a lot more complicated. I don't think we ever used the word workflow. It's something that as professional photographers we get hung up on, and the kids got it. Look, I pour the images in, I'm trying to find the good ones, and I get them back out. And they understood that, and that works so seamlessly in aperture that I think that was a real advantage. So the first thing from a teaching perspective was, wow, I don't have to do separate lessons for RAW and JPEG. The next thing was, I've got this network of machines that I'm trying to maintain in a pretty remote environment that's plagued by bad thunderstorms in the summer. Power's going on and off all the time. These are all networked together, and I know that after the kids leave, I can just go around and trigger a vault backup on all of them, and we're not going to lose anything, all of them going to a centralized server. That was really great. Being able to quickly get multiple images up on screen, as far as just teaching photography, being able to just quickly blow a bunch of images up on screen and say, let's look at these and talk about why one is better than another. Oh, here, let's just make another version and see how this would look in black and white, or see how it would look if we blow it out a little bit, or that kind of thing. As far as teaching the guts of photography, wow, it's great for that. And at that point, you're actually not teaching tools. The kids know that what I'm looking at here are these images. They're not focused on, well, how'd you do that? And that's another great thing about teaching at this level. A lot of times, I don't know if you get this, but a lot of times when you're teaching adults, they're really hung up on, well, just what button does it push? I want to write that down. And they're not getting the concept. These kids were so comfortable with the technology, and I think particularly because aperture is an easy technology to use, that we were just talking concepts when we were lecturing. We weren't talking tools.
Yeah. It's funny, last weekend I taught a class at the junior college on workflow. It was really interesting. And the idea was that, you know, you come into the class, and you know, we talk about the basic principles of workflow, then we go over the tools that you have access to, and then we actually fill out a little worksheet and build a workflow for you. And so, you know, a lot of times, you know, we have this, you know, Bridge here for sorting sort of thing, and, you know, then ACR for your RAW conversion, and Photoshop for, you know, or you could just like write aperture in all the slots there and be done with it, and go back to taking pictures. And a little bit of what you're talking about reminds me of that.
And I think maybe this is what I'd written to you about when, you're right, it was like I was at summer camp, and I actually got that feeling one day when I was sitting on a school bus. I grew up in Oklahoma, so I'm sitting on a school bus and we're driving through the countryside, and I'm going, I'm on a school bus in Oklahoma in the summer. This is summer camp. And I went off on my own one day and was stomping through the hills going, oh my gosh, this smells like summer camp. This, you know, the sounds, the bugs, everything. But one of the things that I really noticed was, when you talk about photography with these kids, you're talking about photography. You're not talking about gear. You're not talking about tools. You're not talking about who's going to win the browser war. You're not going to, you know, none of that stuff. It really, they're not gearheads. They're photographers. And I think aperture really facilitates that. I think that in some ways there are parts of Lightroom, again, that are easier to pick up if you're an experienced user because they seem familiar. I think what's great about Aperture is once you've learned it, once you start using it, it fades into the background. That whole heads-up display thing, that's what it's about. It violates some of the classic Apple interface rules in that interface elements are hidden. But so maybe that makes the learning curve a little steeper. But what that means, but you only do the learning curve once. And you're going to spend 99% of your time using the software after you've summited the learning curve. And what's great about Aperture at that point is the interface and the controls fade to the background. It's not a gearhead program. It's a photography program. And for students like these who are really interested in photography, that's what it's about.
Well, both you and Steve are bloggers for Inside Aperture, which is very cool. And you actually wrote up a blog post that talked a little bit about this experience, right? So I can point to that in the show notes.
Exactly. Yeah, that's up there. And something else that I mentioned in there that was really great, and this isn't so much an Aperture thing. This is just a Mac is more of the convenient IT thing, which was setting up and maintaining 18 machines can often be a drag. Mm-hmm. If you need to do that, I really recommend looking into OS X Server. We had borrowed these machines. I wanted to return them in the same state that we'd found them software-wise. So using Server, I was able to basically build a user account configured the way that I wanted with Aperture installed the way that I wanted. Certain programs removed. There was no internet access there, so I thought I don't want the dock to have iChat and a browser and a bunch of other stuff that's going to distract them. In fact, I really don't want anything to distract them. I want a dock that has Aperture and maybe image capture and maybe Photoshop and stuff in it. I was able to configure all that once and let Server install that on every machine. So it was a one-click thing that you leave running overnight, and when you come back, your 18 machines are configured exactly the way you want them, even with little... I wanted the desktop pattern set to gray. You know, just all these little things that you could just tweak once and then have it distributed. And then when I was done, I was able to very easily one-click restore all those machines back to where they want. So if you need to manage a large network of machines like that, there's a reason there's OS X Server, and that's a big part of what makes Surplus a headache.
Hey, Ben, this is really fascinating. I think next year I want to go with you. So, so thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, thank you.
The Inside Aperture podcast is produced by O'Reilly Media. To learn more about Aperture, be sure to visit digitalmedia.oreilly.com/aperture for articles, tutorials, blogs, and podcasts. This show is produced on a Mac using Soundtrack Pro. See you next time.